I want you to get your Bible this morning, and if you will, turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. This morning, I'm going to be extremely practical in my sermon. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Once you find Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I'm going to ask that you'd stand with me, if you would. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I'm going to start reading at verse number 1. I'm going to read through verse number 8. And while you're yet turning, let me mention this. Again, I've already mentioned about your cell phone to make sure it's on off or vibrate. Then, if you need to slip out during the service, obviously we understand, you know, someone needing to slip out, just do it with as little fanfare as possible. And the ushers may ask when you come back in to have you set toward the back. As full as this auditorium is, and as close as we are, a lot of movement could get our attention off the preaching of the Word of God. And that's why we would handle it that way. So if you need to slip out, certainly do, but understand we want to keep everybody's attention on the preaching of the Word of God. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, starting with verse number 1, the Bible says this: to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away, a time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. I'm sure you noticed it. God spoke of time over and over again. 29 times in 8 verses, God speaks to us about this matter of time. I'm going to preach a sermon today. It's called Be Wise with Your Time. Be wise with your time. Let me pray for us. Father, bless us today. Oh, the sermon is so simple, so down to earth, really, and so practical. But yet, Lord, our lives are just based on our time and how we use it. So it seems like if we use our time right, then our lives are being used right. And you want us to live our lives your way. So, Holy Spirit of God, help someone today. Help them as the busyness of life has overwhelmed them. May we get a grasp on this thing of time and how to use it right. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've had 2 or 3 services where we gave quite a bit of attention to the Hurricane Florence that came through our area and how it affected us and things to do. You know what I've discovered? I've discovered because we had the bad weather and we got off schedule that people's lives and their time has been congested, and the rhythm of their life has been maybe broken a little bit. I couldn't tell you how many people I've heard say this, Brother Owens, I just have so much to do. I just have so much to do. Those of you that are older teenagers, you understand that. Those of you that are adults, you understand it quite well. You know, for some, you say, well, you know, it's the storm hit and kind of messed me up for a couple days. Well, here's the thing that the adults know. You might have ended up having a couple days off work because of the storm, but the work still has to be done. And so now everybody's racing to try to get everything done. And those that really face some catastrophe because of the storm, there's so many things that need cared for. There's so many urgencies and emergencies. Again, older teenagers, adults, I think it makes a lot of sense to you, this thing of something that enters our life, what it can do to the scheduling of our life, to our time. To you children, if you'll listen to your pastor today, I can show you how to be a success in life. You will not waste time, which is in essence wasting your life, and succeed. You just won't. I have heard this over and over again. I have so much to do. I just can't seem to get it all done. I've even heard, maybe not in exact words, but in an implication. I just can't find time to serve God and can't find time for church. I would say this to you. If you can't find time to serve God and can't find time to be in church, you're too busy. Something needs rearranged there. God never intended for anything to cause you to just drop out of church. I'll guarantee that. But I hear those words, I can't get it all done. I have so much time. I heard someone say the other day that there's too much responsibility and not enough day. There's too many things to do and not enough days in the week. And you all know what I'm talking about. Now, anybody that wants to be successful, they're going to be busy and they're going to have a busy schedule. They have more to do than they sometimes feel they can handle. And I'd recommend to everybody in here, I think if you want to succeed, you need to have more to do than you have time to do it. If you have a lot of extra time on your hands, let me know. But I think successful people are people that have more to do than they have time to do it. And they strive then to achieve and succeed. But there are ways that you can get more out of your time. There are some very practical things and thoughts and ways of doing it. Did you know this? Did you know that everybody has the same number of days in a year? The people sitting in this section have 365 days in a year to accomplish things. But the people in this section have 365 days in a year with which to accomplish. The people in this section, they may be a little dumber looking than the other two sections, but they have the same number of days as the rest of us. Did you know that everybody in this building have 12 months in a year? Did you know that everybody in this building has 52 weeks in a year? Did you know that everybody in here has 7 days in a week? Did you know that your day is 24 hours long? I checked just this morning. I have the same number of hours in my day and the same number of days in my week as you do. There are some highly effective and highly influential and highly productive people. You may say, well, I wish I could get everything done that they get done. Well, it has nothing to do with the amount of time, because everybody has the same amount of time in a day. Did you know that everybody here, when you look at an hour, there are 60 minutes in your hour? Same thing for me. 60 minutes in my hour. But not everybody uses their time wisely. Now, I may mention this again later. I mentioned it in my opening prayer, but let me explain something to you about your time. Your time is your life. Then how you spend your time is how you're spending your life. Could I recommend to you that you not waste your life by wasting your time, which is your life? There's some of you, you say, I just feel like I'm wasting away. What are you doing with your time? I'm going to very, very simply and very practically talk to you a little bit about some attitudes and some things you can do to get more out of your time. There's a lot of subjects I could preach on, a lot of things that I could say. I'm not short on sermons. I'm not short on sermon content, but I want to help you succeed. And I really do believe there are all sorts of people in our church right now who are under the gun time-wise. You know, the storm, you fell behind some. You got a lot of making up to do. Wow, stores closed, no mail delivered. Although I have the highest regard for the United States postal system. You say, why do you say that? I got about 6 of their employees in my church. So, but there's just so many things coming at us. And I mean, life so, so busy. And those of you that help other people manage their time, you even feel even more under the gun. There's so much. If I could, I'd like to talk to you just in a few simple statements about being wise with your time. First of all, I would recommend to you that if you want to be wise with your time, that you learn how to do two things at once. I call it spiritual multitasking. Do you know the Bible tells us in Matthew 26:41 that we should watch and pray? That's two things at one time. Did you know that in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 it says pray without ceasing? So here's what I want to recommend to you. I want to recommend that you learn how to spiritually multitask. Did you know you can do two things at once? You say, like what? I think you could pray and drive. Matter of fact, I think it would be better if you did. Now, not with your eyes closed. Do you realize how many times you can do something and the workload or the duty is light and something can be added to it? Right. You could sing a spiritual song,
yes, sir,
while you're doing something. Right. And so I'm recommending that you do something spiritual as you do other things. You can pray as you go about your business. You can sing. I was somewhere this week and there was a guy working in a shop. And he was multitasking. He was cranking wrenches and singing some country song. But he was multitasking. And I thought, you know what? If every Christian would sing Amazing Grace while they're cranking a wrench, they're multitasking. So, in essence, I'm trying to tell you folks, you can be spiritual while you're busy and you could be multitasking. While you are cleaning, you can be singing. And while you are working, you could be praying. And while you are doing good, you could be thinking right. I'll promise you, the devil has you multitasking. He'll have you doing some physical labor while he's playing with your brain and you're thinking about things you should not think about. Now, I agree that some multitasking can become dangerous. I don't think you should text while you drive. And everybody here believes that, except for when you need to. I don't think you ought to destroy the quality of something because you're multitasking. I think that people do that. They try to do two things at once and neither one of them are done right. But I will promise you there is a multitasking available and it does not hinder the quality of the accomplishment. And I think, I used to get so irritated when I was a machinist by trade. I came out of high school and I earned my way through Bible college as a machinist. I ran lathes and I ran mills. And I was a country kid, and I was brought up to work hard. And my dad taught me, he said, son, if there's not something to do down at the factory, you go pick up a broom, and you sweep, and you clean, and you don't just stand around with your hands in your pocket waiting for the boss to find something for you to do. Well, they gave me a machine to run, but it was an automatic machine. It was a data numerical controlled machine. It's a DNC machine. I'd stand there, and I'd watch my machine run, and they'd kick out a part, and I'd grab it and look at it and measure it and set it down. I began to realize there's got to be more to life than grab it, look at it, set it down. So I asked if they could add another machine to mine. Say, then what'd you do? I grabbed it, looked at it, grabbed it, looked at it, set it down, set it down. I was still okay. And in life, there's a multitasking. And I'll tell you why some of you are frustrated with your time. You stand there and stare at stuff when you could be multitasking. You could get a little bit more done. You'd be amazed what you could plan by just using your mind while you're watching the washing machine go, well, what are you doing? I'm watching my washing machine. Oh, I'm shocked at how people think. So I'd recommend that you learn to spiritually multitask. Secondly, I think you'll accomplish more and you'll use your time wisely if you have a proper attitude toward time. Just a proper attitude. Colossians 4:5 talks about redeeming the time. When we talk about redemption, we're talking about purchase. We're talking about value. Folks, you've got to learn to value time. Most of us waste time because we fail to realize time's value. Now, you get a little more of a grasp on time's value when you think somebody's wasting yours. But how about you wasting yours? Time is more valuable than gold. You say, why? As I said earlier, the scriptural concept of time is your life. Now, we hear it said, your life will soon pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. But let me tell you something, folks. Everybody here, you're only going to be given so much time, then you're going to die. If I were you, I would recommend you use your life well. And don't waste your life, which is in essence then not wasting time. Folks, when I waste my time, I'm wasting my life. I wish somehow it were possible, but if we could get everybody a digital clock on their life, and we could place on that digital clock exactly how long you're going to live and let it start running down. You ever seen on New Year's Eve when the big ball's going to drop and they've got a digital clock going and it's about to drop? What would happen if somebody knew how long you were going to live and we got a digital countdown on your life and you had, maybe you could keep that on your phone or on your watch, and every once in a while you could glance at it and say, I've only got this many days and this many hours left. I think we might decide that we would be a little more cautious with our time, because you don't know when your time's going to run out. Your time may run out today. Are you going to look back and say, what was I thinking? Use your time wisely. Have a proper attitude toward time. Look, if I waste my time, I'm wasting my life. But I have to tell you something. I was taught very early in life, I was taught to make sure I didn't waste other people's time. You say, why? Well, if I waste David's time, I'm wasting his life. I mean, it's bad enough if I want to waste my own, but I dead sure don't want to waste somebody else's life. So folks, don't waste time. Develop a proper attitude about time and realize your time is your life and you only get so much of it. And once it's spent, you don't get it back. It's gone. So, if I want to be wise with my time, I need to spiritual multitask. I need to get God involved in what I'm doing. Then I need to have a proper attitude toward time. And thirdly, I'm going to say this, and it's a little premature in the sermon, but I'm going to put it here. I would work your way through what I would call frustrations about time and schedule. Notice that in Psalm 23, verse number 2, We use the scripture in Psalm 23 in a lot of ways, but in verse number 2 it says, He leadeth me beside still waters, He restoreth my soul. Now, the Bible talks about He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I believe this. I believe that, I'm going to be honest, there are times when my schedule can get the best of me. You ever had that thing where you got so many things coming at you and you're just going, what am I going to do with all this? Well, every once in a while, if I'm overwhelmed with everything that needs to be done, I need to sit down. I need to relax for a moment. I need to take a good look at what needs to be done. I almost need to get alone with God, and I need a quick mental recharge. Instead of becoming frustrated, I let God give me a little recharge. You know, in Psalm 23, He said, He leadeth me beside the still waters. Now, the big issue about that is there must have been some troubled waters somewhere, but now I get to experience the still waters. So if you say, I'm troubled, I got so many things happening right now, get to the Lord and let Him calm you a little bit. He said, He restores my soul. Well, what happened? Well, restore meant that it, if you will, recharge. In other words, I had a charge. My charge got low. Now He's going to recharge me. And I'm going to take a moment. I'm going to get with God. And I'm going to let Him re-energize me. So instead of becoming frustrated with so many things to do, get to the Lord. Ask Him to give you strength. Let Him recharge you a little bit. That's one reason why I think when you're busy, 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 you need to stay in church. You say, why? You'll hear a sermon like this that will give you some practical guidelines and help recharge you a little bit. We need some recharging. Sometimes you need to push the reset button a little bit. So, If I want to be wise with my time, I try to spiritual multitask. I keep God involved with what's going on, and I try to get more than one thing done at a time as long as I'm not endangering the quality of my work. Then I've got to develop a proper attitude toward my time. I've got to realize that my time's my life. Don't waste it. Then I'm careful with the frustrations, and I let God recharge me. And then number four. If I were you, I would constantly work at decreasing the amount of time you need to get a job done. Let me say it again. Constantly work at decreasing the amount of time you need to get a job done. Do you know that God tells us to study nature at certain times to learn how to do things? In Proverbs 6:6, it says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Ants are busy. Ants can get a lot done quickly. Ants can get more done quickly than what we realize they can get done. Now, my point is, learn how to take a job, improve yourself at that job, and then make it so that you need less and less time to accomplish that job. Now, I'm constantly looking to better myself on how to get a job done, get it done right, but not use as much time. Look, there are moms in here. You've taught your children some household duties and chores. You young people understand the word chore? Chores. I grew up, if you didn't work, you were told you might not get your supper. We live in a pansy generation where kids have everything handed to them. But, listen, parents, my mom or dad would teach me how to conduct a certain chore or a duty. Now, at first, it would take me a long time. I began to figure it out. I didn't get paid by the hour at my house. I mean, it was all contracted work at my place. You're going to finish the job, boy. And I'm not talking, I didn't get paid money, I might say. I was given the job, and it wasn't, here, go take 8 hours and do this. I was told, you are not going anywhere, and you're not going fishing, and you're not going to ride your bike till this is done. Well, at first, in my own rebellious way, I'd think, well, I'll just take all day. Well, my dad would say, fine. I don't care about you riding your bike. Well, next time I got that job, I thought, I think we could knock this out a little quicker. And before long, I'm thinking, if I can sucker my little brother in here, we can be out of here riding our bike in no time flat. But I didn't take long to figure it out. And folks, whether you're a child or an adult, listen, if you take a job and you master the job and you get better at the job, you don't have to give up quality. But look, if you learn how to do it a little bit quicker and don't drag your feet and keep yourself into it, you're going to save some time. To be honest, for me, through the years, production almost became a game. I began to enjoy being productive. I felt better about myself at the end of the day. The problem with that is we have a lazy generation. I just want to do what I have to do to get by. Now, I'm trying to talk to some people that are busy. You got more to do than what you know to do. The storm kind of knocked you out of your element. And boy, you're playing catch up and you're behind and you got a million one things to do. Hey, you think about it. You know, some of the systems that were set up are kind of messed up because we don't know what's coming to us and when and how we're going to get it all done. Well, let me tell you, you spiritually multitask. You get a right attitude about your time. You spend some time with God so He can recharge you. You learn how to decrease the amount of time it takes for a particular job, and that'll give you more time for the other things that need to be done. And number five, I would recommend that you always keep, I'm going to say keep a piece of paper and a pen around, or your tablet or your phone around, so you can jot down ideas and things to remind yourself what needs to be done next. And I wonder how much time we waste because we just forget things. We just forget. Hey, when you're super busy, you'll forget. And people, thinking people, idea people, let me tell you, I learned a long time ago, if I don't write down my ideas, and some of them are brilliant, there are times I am brilliant. Thank you, Brother Edwards. And then I don't write it down. So all the times that I don't write it down, the reason why you think I'm dumb is I should have wrote the brilliant thing down. So you get stuck with all the dumb stuff that I teach instead of the brilliant stuff that I could have taught, but I forgot. Think about it. You know, our minds are only so strong. They're only going to take in so much. So I grew up, I walked around everywhere. I took 3x5 cards with me and had an ink pen. I mean, I had 3x5. And to this day, you have to forgive me, I'm a little old school. In my car, I've got a little stack of 3x5 cards. In my wife's car, there's a little stack of 3x5 cards. At my desk, at my lazy boy recliner, I've got everywhere you go. In the throne room, there are 3x5 cards and an ink pen. You say, why? If I get an idea, I jot it down. I jot that idea down. I remind myself, boy, I'll be driving up the road and something will come to me and I'll think, oh my, that's got to be done. I don't want to forget about that. I don't commit it to memory. You say, why? Because I can't remember what I'm supposed to remember. But because I jot it down, I log it, because of the weakness of my mind, because of the busyness of my mind, I go back to it and I figure out where that goes into my schedule. So I think it's a good idea. Did you know something? Did you know that God chose to write down everything you and I need to know? Amen. He wrote it all down.
Yes, sir.
He said, these are things you need to remember. God felt it was important that it be written where we would have access to it. And I would just tell you, if you're really busy and you're a bit overwhelmed and you got all sorts of stuff going on, either use your tablet or your phone, or use a 3x5 card or whatever you can find, but jot notes to remind yourself of what needs to be done. And you'll find yourself accomplishing more, because your mind won't be strong enough during the frustration of the busyness to have recall to it all. Number six, you'll like this. Avoid people who are time wasters. Now, you can't avoid them all, but you need to avoid people who are time wasters. Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 12, talks about not being slothful. The Bible talks about not being slothful in business. Everybody knows people who talk too much and, to some degree, just talk worthlessly. And they go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Now, I don't think you ought to be rude. I think you ought to be kind. But you will have to learn how to say to people, I'm sorry, I must move on. I'm sorry, I must move on. You can be kind, you can be generous, I think you can give them an ear. But I will tell you, usually someone that talks too much, they either have no duties, or they're a slacker, and they're not doing what they should be doing. I'm not mad at them. They've got to learn. And I would say to everybody in here, if you have no duties in life and you're not busy and you're not overwhelmed, please be patient with the people that have a lot on their plate and respect their time. Matter of fact, I'll put it this way. You won't be lazy and do nothing, then we'll be kind to you, but some people have things to do. Yeah, everybody okay? But be careful. Avoid people that are time wasters. Be kind, but stay busy. Stay busy. And I would throw this in there. If you're really busy, you don't have to be on your phone all day long, every day. Time wasters are your texting, and boy, do we waste a lot of time. And folks, I would also say this, you know, if you're texting or communicating with a busy person, and you want to know what time church starts, maybe you could look it up yourself. And don't get mad at a busy person because they can't answer you the moment you want an answer. They don't let me know them. They don't care about me. They're being mean to me. No, they might be busy. You might not understand that. But be careful letting things waste your time. Now, folks, there are some people, you don't let anything waste your time. You're about as rude and curt and mean as you can be. And so, you know, you're plowing through everybody and everything and destroying everything that comes in your path so you can get done what you need to get done. I'm not talking about that behavior. I'm talking about just being aware of the time wasters and be careful not to let things waste that time. Let me go on. Number seven, learn the purpose of sleep. Learn the purpose of sleep. The Bible says in Proverbs 6:9, it says, O sluggard, when wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Now, you have two issues. You have those that sleep too much, and then you have those that don't sleep enough. And there's an appropriate amount of sleep. You say, what is it? I don't know what your appropriate amount of sleep is. Because I think every human being's body is a little bit different. There's some that function well on 8 hours sleep. Now, the medical journals and everything will tell you 8 hours. Well, I do quite well on 4.5 to 5 hours sleep, and I'm relatively healthy, and I do quite well. There are others who need more sleep than that. I think there are people that need more than 8 hours of sleep. But I will tell you this. Sleep ends up creating problems for productive people if they don't use it right. If you don't sleep enough, you'll be weary, you'll make bad decisions, and you were going 50 miles an hour, but you were not sleeping enough. Now you're making all sorts of mistakes, and you're complicating your life. So the right amount of sleep can make things better. The wrong amount of sleep can make things worse. So I think too much sleep can destroy you. I think not enough sleep will destroy you. And so those of you that are super busy, you just need to hear this. You're super busy and you're burning the candle at both ends of the stick. I admire your character, but don't kill somebody while you're driving. Don't cut your hand off. You're going to have to sleep enough that your body is healthy, so you're making good decisions, so you're productive. So if you've got a hero complex where I'm going to save the world, Dr. J. Frank Norris, a great preacher from years gone by, said every man of God needs to turn 10 toes toward heaven and let the world go to hell for about 8 hours. What was he saying? Lay flat on your back, go to sleep, we'll get the world saved, but you can't do it all yourself. That's all he was saying. And for some of you, you need to realize the right amount of sleep is going to make you more productive. Now, you need to figure that out, and you do it. Now, for some, you're saying, that's right. I only got 16 hours yesterday. And people are laughing because people use sleep as an escape. It's how they avoid responsibility. Okay, let's go on. Oh, this next one, you're really going to hate the practicality of it. Number 8, eat right. Eat right. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. I think one of the great keys to using your time right is keeping your body healthy. If you'll keep your body healthy, your time is going to be better spent. You know, what you eat will affect your thinking. I'm not a big fast food fan. And I'll tell you why. I love the way Big Macs taste. I love the way McDonald's French fries. Now, for me, you can have everybody else's French fries. I want McDonald's French fries. I would love a Wendy's triple with cheese. So if we could get all these restaurants together to do it the right way, I could lead them through it. I know exactly what they all need to do. But I'm going to tell you something. When I eat McDonald's food, within 30 to 40 minutes, I have a headache. And I'm not thinking right. And I know you're thinking, well, you should have ate two cheeseburgers instead of one. You didn't eat enough of it. That's what it was. But I'm going to just tell you something. If you'll eat right, you have the potential then of probably being a better steward of your time. Understand this also. I think probably it's unhealthy that you eat a whole bunch of food before you go to sleep at night. Because your body will spend the night digesting food instead of resting. So the earlier in the night you eat, the better off you'll be. You're better off drinking water than pop, soda, cola, whatever you want to call it, your big gulp, whatever it is. But if you eat right and you drink right, you will be healthier. If you're healthier, your body will function better, and you'll do much better that way. So, and I'll tell you what happens. When we're busy, when we are busy and stressed and running 50 different directions, everybody just wants to grab something to eat as fast as you can to shove it in your mouth. But I'll tell you, if you could make a little better decision about what you eat, you will have better time management. And you say, well, that just doesn't make sense. I'm sure it's true. So I want to eat right. Then a few more and we'll be done. It won't take long. I would recommend that you, number nine, use your waiting time wisely. Your waiting time. In other words, you're waiting on something. Psalm 36:3 says, be wise and to do good. If you go to the doctor's office, you may have a wait time. If I were you, did you know that most of you have already seen their 1927 edition of the Highlights magazine that's in the waiting room? You don't have to go in there and read that magazine. You could have taken some work in there with you. Hey, if nothing else, Sunday school teachers, take your Sunday school lesson into the doctor's office while you're waiting to get into the doctor's office to study your lesson. For those of you that never read your Bible, and there are a bunch of you like this, oh, I don't have time, but you sat for 30 minutes waiting for the doctor and did nothing. I don't go into appointments without taking work with me because I don't want to waste that 30-minute wait time. You say, I have to wait on my husband at work. Then take some work along with you. I wait on my wife as she's preparing to go out in public, you know, the debut. You then do some work while you wait. I'm waiting on my children at school. Take some work while you wait. Have a book handy. Have your tablet handy. But if you'll use wait time well, you'll get more done. You know, it's better to have work with you and not be able to do it than to have no work with you when you have to wait and then have to sit there and waste the time. So use your wait time quickly. Number 10, learn to concentrate. Just learn to concentrate. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, it teaches that we are to bring into captivity every thought. Now, there's a lot of teaching going on in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 5, but when it is talking about bringing every captivity, every thought into captivity, it's talking about get your mind under control. And sure, that's telling you don't be thinking about filthy things, get it under control, but it's also telling you you can control your mind. In other words, make your think time count. Learn to concentrate. Boy, if we would just set our mind on what needs to be done and get it done and learn to get it done and get our mind on it and stick to it, we'd do so much better. I think it's so many times it's self-inflicted. I think there are kids that can't concentrate to take a test at school, but that's because they watch so much television, play so many video games, and television changes a scene every 10, 15 seconds, and the video games are all over the place. So you got a kid, he can't get his mind to focus on the chalkboard or the teacher. But folks, we've got to learn to focus. And I think you will do better with your time if you can focus. You focus, you learn to concentrate. Concentration is a great key to getting a lot done. And if you can learn to concentrate and focus, it'll make a big difference. Number 11, try not to live by impulse, but learn how to live by schedule. And I wish I had a lot of time to talk about this. I don't. The Bible says in Psalm 90, verse 12, it says, teach us to number our days. And I don't think that's just saying I've only got a certain number of days to live. I think God is telling you, you better figure out how to use your days. Earlier, when we were reading from Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, it said there's a time for this and a time for that and a time for this and a time for that. God's saying, get your life, get a schedule, get a plan for your life. Young people, I wish I could convince you to determine a good time to wake up in the morning. And then you just wake up, you set your alarm and wake up that time every day of your life. Just get a schedule. I think it would be good for us to have a time to wake up in the morning and a time to go to sleep at night. And I wish I could convince people. I wish you would read your Bible at a given time and pray at a given time. Life, living your life by schedule is going to make all the difference in the world. People who are scheduled get more done. Running from here to there, just scatterbrain about everything you do in life, you're not going to get as much done. There needs to be a plan. I was talking to one of our church bus captains, and they said, I tell you what, Pastor, I got to go so many places with my bus to pick people up on a Sunday morning. I just don't know what to do. I said, well, show me your course, and how are you going? And boy, they started on one part of the city, and they were going to another part of the city, and then they're driving halfway back to where they started, and then they're driving three quarters around another way. I said, maybe that if we would just rewrite your schedule of your route, you'd have time. And we did. And we made sense of it. And they were able to run their route in plenty of time. Your life is the same way. And I'm not as old as what I talk sometimes. I got to tell you something. When I grew up, we went to the grocery store one time a week, the same time every week. I wish you could all log how much time you spend going to the store. I'm going to the store on Monday. I'm going to the store on Tuesday. I'm going to the store on Wednesday. I'm going to the store on Thursday. I'm not going to go on Friday. Don't want to waste my time. Going to the store on Saturday. Going to the store on Sunday. Some of you old timers, you remember making up a grocery list and you went once and you actually thought it was a waste of gas to go back and forth and 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 then go to the store hungry. So you buy Pringles and Ho-Hos because they're necessary because you're hungry. I'm telling you, a schedule will change your life. Let me recommend that you learn how to use the early morning hours and the late evening hours to do certain things. Productive people, they look, you know, let's face it, if business hours for most are 9 to 5, there's a lot that could be done before 9. There are all sorts of things that can be accomplished after 5. You've got to figure out what needs to be done and when. And if you'll do that, it'll help you. Could I recommend that you do things right the first time? Having to redo something sure eats up your time. Could I recommend that you learn how to plan ahead? Procrastinators are not good with their time. I wish I had another 30 minutes. I'm going to close the sermon, and I realize it's just a very, very simple lesson about being effective with your time. But folks, I don't think God would give you, if it's God's will that you do what you're doing, I don't think God would give you something that you can't get done, which means that there is a way to get it done, but you just have to get some organization in your thinking. And you say, well, Pastor, you just don't understand how busy I am. I have lived my life understanding busyness. I can take you to years of my life where I put in no less than 100 hours at a very fast rate of work. So I do understand. It's doable. You've just got to use your time properly. I'm done. If you're not saved today, can I tell you something? I don't know how much time you have. This may be your last day. You say you're trying to scare me? No. Just trying to tell you the truth. I don't know how much time you have. If you're not saved, I'd recommend you get saved. Why? Well, if this is your last day and you planned on getting saved someday, well, this may be your someday. You may not have another day. So I'd recommend salvation. To all of us, let me recommend that we use our life wisely, which means using our time wisely. And it's more than just learning how to use the clock on your phone. It is an effort to organize your life and to think right about your time usage. And you can do it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, I'm not born again. Pray for me. If I died today, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand and say, I need to be born again. Pray for me. I'm not saved. God bless you. How many of you here would say, Pastor, I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. I know that. If I died today, I know I'd go to heaven. And I'm not ashamed of it in the slightest. Would you raise your hand and let God see that you know you're saved, you know you're on your way to heaven? God bless you. God bless you. Who here would say, now, preacher, I certainly needed some instruction about the use of my time. I'm busy. I've got a lot going, and I can, some of these practical pointers, I can work on them a little bit. I think it's going to help me. I think I can accomplish a little more after having heard some things about using my time in a scriptural and a spiritual approach. And God spoke into your heart. You say, I know I pick up something from the sermon today that's going to help me. Would you let God see your hand so He knows that you're going to use it. You're going to let it help you. It's going to better you. You may put your hands down. I wish I had more time. Some of you that are extremely effective and efficient, I wish I had more time to talk more. I'd love to talk for another 30 minutes about time usage. we don't have that amount of time to do it. So you've learned some things. Don't just hear them with your ears. Put them into practice in your life. It might be some of you got a lot going. We're going to have an altar call. And maybe it is that if you need to come to the altar and just take a moment and say, God, give me some strength. I need some extra strength to get through the complexity of my life right now. I need help so I can get it all done. Maybe you need the altar. Hey, and whatever you do, don't get so busy you don't have time for God. Don't phase God out. That's the wrong thing to do. In a second, the pianist will begin to play. We'll stand to our feet and we'll get ready for the altar call. Sarah's going to begin to play. Let's all stand if we could. Everyone standing. If you need the altar, you come. If you've never been saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Have you gotten too busy for God? Oh, don't let that happen to you. Hey, don't get too busy to read your Bible. Don't get too busy to pray. Don't get too busy to tell someone about Jesus. Some of you, I really believe, you have enough time to succeed. You've just not become a good manager of your time. Moms and dads, I would like to encourage you. This morning, to some degree, could have been a child-rearing lesson. You need to teach your children how to succeed with their time. Teach them how to get up in the morning. Teach them how to live by schedule. Teach them how to organize their life. I believe Christian young people can lead in our communities and lead in our country. But they're going to have to be taught some things about how to live their life. I was a little bit amazed when I looked at Ecclesiastes chapter 3 where it said over and over and over again, there's a time, there's a time, there's a time, there's a time. Sounds to me like God is a God of schedule. I was speaking with someone the other day and they talked about the Jesus coming back in the rapture. And they said this to me. They said, well, if he does not delay his coming, I said, you don't have to worry. It's on his calendar. He'll be here on time. You may not know when it is. I may not know when it is. But it's on his schedule. He will be here. He will be here on time. He won't be late. He won't be early. God is a perfect God. And he told us we've got to get it together with our time. Our time. Sarah, one more time through the song, if you will. The Bible says, let all things be done decently and in order. Get your time together. Get your life together. Thank you, Sarah. Folks, you can have a seat.